Die groot trek saam Dopie en Nina, weekdae tussen 3 en 6.
Luister, is tyd vir 'n dag in die lewe van en ons het die groot voorreg om baie betrokke te wees of met mense kontak te maak wat 'n mens nie noodwendig elke liewe dag mee sal gesels. En een van hierdie mense en danksy haar, hierdie spesifieke dame wat ek nou al baie jare mee werk in die industrie. Danksy haar het ons baie keer die interessantste gaste
ja.
op hierdie program. En dit gaan van inspirasie tot, jy weet,
iemand, kennis deel
en allemaal wat iets in 'n boek vastgevang het. Danksy Jean Peters van NB Uitgewers is dit moontlik. Jean, how are you?
I'm very, very well, thank you indeed.
Yeah, well, we have to say thank you for one, always sending us these really cool books and, you know, suggesting people with amazing stories. And, you know, it's just always nice when you share these stories. And if you don't capture it in a book, sometimes it goes missing, right?
Exactly. Exactly. And that's one of the things we really try to focus on in our publishing program is to bring stories to people that you wouldn't otherwise ever get access to because you don't have access to those people. And being able to publish those stories is just so amazing because I think reading books just widens your horizons completely and makes your world bigger and bigger. And you get access to people with fascinating stories. So, yes, love it. Absolutely love it.
The one thing I think of when I think about a book publisher, you know, my frame of reference is what I've seen in the movies. Now, you always see this lady. She's high and mighty. You know, she's the publisher of Vogue, or she's a book publisher. I'm thinking about that Ryan Reynolds and Sandra Bullock movie that came out the other day, where she's this massive book exec, you know, and he's trying to write a manuscript or whatever it is. Is that the glamorous world of book publishing, Jean?
Wouldn't it be so nice if it were? I'm just thinking of The Devil Wears Prada as well. Yeah. That like all the glamour and the glory. No, book publishing is not like that at all. We're all pretty down to earth. Definitely. I mean, we have our author's party twice a year and then we see a little bit of glitz and glamour coming through because we all have to dress up nicely. And it's a great event on our social calendars to meet all our authors we are publishing books in that year. But I think that's about as close as we get to the glitz and glamour world. But it's nice to dream.
So, Jean, talking about dreams, when you were a little Jean, what was your dream? What did you want to be when you grow up?
You know, it's one of those strange things. I often speak to people that have a very specific idea of what they wanted to do when they were kids. I had zero idea. My sister worked in the bank, and it was she could get me a job. So off I toddled to the bank, and I wrote debit and credit slips out by hand. And that's what I did until I fell into this job purely by coincidence. And it was just one of those things. I worked temporarily at a publishing house. And I was temporarily working for the head of the publishing company. And in the times when I was bored, I would go and ask the publicity team if there was anything I could do to help. And they said, yes, please. And they put me to work doing grunt admin stuff, which I did because otherwise I was going to sit and twiddle my thumbs. And when an opportunity came up in their division to become a publicist, you know, I put my CV forward. And because of my track record with them, I got the job. So it was just by doing really hard admin work and doing it well that I got an opportunity. So it's just one of those things I say to interns if they ever work in a company, that if somebody asks them to make the tea or do the filing, they should make the best tea ever and do the best filing ever because when there is an opportunity, they will be remembered.
That's amazing advice. So you fell into it and it was obviously meant to be. But is there something or is there a course that you can study to become a publisher or do you have to go make tea?
No. For me, I have a passion for reading. I've always been a bookworm. From a little girl, it was, I was brought up in the days when kids were seen and not heard. And I quite enjoyed that idea because I used to go and sit in a corner far away from all the adults with my book.
And read and whatever so you can get your hands on. Mm.
Exactly. I was a voracious reader. And I mean, I was a librarian when I was in school because I just wanted to be in the library amongst books. So that passion for reading, I think, translated through into the job. And so being a publicist for books is kind of like my passion. I love it. I absolutely love it. The other part, you ask if people wanted a job like this, what would come in handy is to study some sort of journalism, because then you learn to write and do press releases, and you learn to understand how the media works and operates, because that is my job pretty much, is to try and get as much of the information about the book out in the world so that when people walk into bookshops, they see a book on the shelf and they go, oh yeah, I heard Dupi talk about this book on the radio, or I saw an interview on the TV. Oh my gosh, yes, front of mind awareness, I want to buy that. So that is kind of my main job, is letting the world know that this book has arrived, because if people out there don't know there is a book, then they won't, it's pointless. Mm. They won't buy it because they don't know it's there. So studying marketing, today, in today's world with social media, all our various different social media platforms people being so active on them, especially with BookTok, it helps to kind of know how the whole social media landscape works. So it can't harm having that information as well. But I think mostly your passion, you need to like books to do the job really, really well, I think.
Jean, so we're just going to go to the traffic quickly. It's funny that you mentioned that you were a librarian at school. Anina also used to work in the media class.
Yeah, in the library.
Yeah.
Yeah, I also have a passion for books.
But she likes the books so much that she never gives them back, Jean.
No.
She still has a primary school book.
Jean, I have one book and Dupi will never let me forget it, ever.
So, all the books that you send, I think, oh yeah, I'm going to read this. We're going to book a guest. It's going to be fantastic. Yeah. Off my table. Then I just know where it's gone. That's good because Nina can do the research as well. So that's lekker. We're going to be back with Jean Peters in a second. Sy is natuurlijk een boek uitgever is by NB Publishing. En baie van ons gasten kom van boeken af, wat ons gelees het, hulle stories vertel op Swart en Wit. Een dag in die leven van boek uitgever, Jean Peters, saam met ons. Is it Peters or is it Peters?
Well, it depends if you're Afrikaans and it's Peters.
Yeah.
Want hy is so gespel, P-E-E, but if you're English, then it's Peters.
Oh, fantastic. Now we know.
So, Jean, when you greeted us, you told us about your passion for finding stories and telling people stories. So, can you tell us how it works? Do you physically go out and look for stories and find these stories and find ways to tell them? Or do people come to you with their stories and ask you to help them tell it?
Okay, so it's a little bit of both. Although I'm not on the side of the business where I go look for stories, I'm sort of right at the end of the business. Mm-hmm. So when the book has been sourced, edited, printed, and it lands on my desk, that's when I start. Then I take this baby that's arrived in its completed form, and I do the publicity for it. But to answer your question, we will sometimes have a look at what is happening within the environment that we're living in. And I'm on the nonfiction side, so a lot of the books I deal with are current affairs, that kind of stuff. So we look at the zeitgeist, what's new, what's happening. We look at international markets, we look at local markets. And if we see a gap in the market somewhere, we might just say, oh, yeah, that's a great topic. Let's find somebody and commission them and ask them to write a story for us about this. Mm. So that's one avenue. The other avenue is that people will approach us with great ideas and then submit their ideas. And then other times stuff will just arrive in our inbox. Mm-hmm. And we will read through that. And we might also find a book, think, okay, this is great. And we'll send it to a couple of readers to read it, to give us a sort of a reader's report on what they think about it. Okay. And then from there, we decide whether we're going to publish it or not.
One of the questions I still have is, I know from people that have worked in magazines for many of years, that kind of died down. And everybody has an iPad now or a Kindle or these digital book readers, e-book readers. Is there still a place in the world for an actual physical book?
Yeah, absolutely there is. It's one of those things where a lot of people say they will only read a book because they like the feel of the pages, the smell,
that's me.
Kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then the other people like me, I have a Kindle. So I do read on a Kindle and I read proper books. And then there are other people that might only read on Kindles. Mm. And then there's some people that read one book a year.
That's
so it's quite varied. Mm. But if you think about the fact of that, you know, our bookshops are full of books, there definitely is a market for physical books still.
Yeah, because I just find that I want to feel the pages because I can't, especially if it's like a nonfiction book and you want to make notes or you want to underline certain things that's important. Like it doesn't have, I know you can underline or whatever on Kindle. It just doesn't have the same power for me than to actually scribble in the book.
Yeah, no, it definitely doesn't feel the same, does it? And also, if you want to go back because you've read something, you think, oh my gosh, 2-3 pages back. Let me just check that. And you can page back and find the place that you were. Yeah, and you can do that in a Kindle, but it's different.
Plus, my Kindle always dies when I can't plug it in and then I can't read any further. It's very frustrating.
So what's it?
Yeah, your technology fails you and then there goes your reading.
Yeah.
What's been the biggest hurdle you've had to overcome in your publishing career?
I think one of the biggest things that I work with on a daily basis is managing expectations. You've got somebody that's poured their life and soul into this book, and they've spent hours, maybe years, writing, and it's a very lonely process writing because it's very solo. And they write this thing, and it arrives on your desk, and you know, it's their baby. They've worked on it forever. So you've got to kind of manage the expectation to deliver publicity and a launch and all that kind of stuff to within the constraints that you have to work with. And often that is the one thing that I find the trickiest, because people have an idea sometimes of what should take place. And it's certainly not a realistic idea.
That must
be you can do.
That must be so hard, because never mind that, you know, if someone brings you a baby and you think this can't work at all.
Correct. And then you've got to say to them, I'm sorry, but the story about your grandmother rescuing a pigeon is not a story that most people want to hear about, or whatever the case is. So that is the hardest thing, I think. But what is one of the best things, quite to the contrary of that, if you do get a book, because you never ever know what is and isn't going to work.
Yeah.
So you place your faith in the whole process of producing this book, and it arrives and it doesn't work. And that's disappointing, because you've done everything you can. It's got great publicity, great interviews, but it just doesn't sell. Or the contrary, it suddenly just takes off. And you have this massive bestseller on your hands, and it was just unexpected. I mean, for instance, if I can go back to The President's Keepers, the very, very first Jacques Poe book, I worked on the publicity for that. And, you know, in all the meetings, we were sitting around thinking, well, what should the print run be? How many books should we print? And I mean, that book just went crazy. Mm. The first launch where there were about anywhere between 700 and 1,000 people at a launch ever in South Africa was Reddy Tlaabi's book when she published Crazy. And that was like, what? We've never ever, normally you have like 200-300 people at a launch. And this was between 700 and 1,000 people. And it was just unbelievable. And then about 2 or 3 months after that, the President's Keepers came out and the timing was just right. Everything was like a perfect storm. And we had 2,000 people at the Exclusive Books Hyde Park launch.
Wow.
We actually had to do it out in the corridor, and there were people on the balconies. The TV was there. I mean, it was just unbelievable. I really did feel glamorous that time, because we had bodyguards because of all these death threats and stuff against Jack. So we were surrounded by bodyguards and we had to move him around from A to B, and then the lights went out in the center, and it was something else. And I mean, we sold tons and tons of that book, and we had an idea that it would be big, but we had absolutely no idea how big it actually was. It was just, that was one of the biggest highlights in my career ever, was working on that title. It was just all consuming and it was amazing.
I remember when that book came out, because we spoke to Jacques at some stage.
That's
and
right.
I think the timing was just perfect, you know, with what was happening in the country, and the people wanted information. And that book gave everything that people wanted. But once again, you can't predict these things. I think me and Nina will attest to that in our industry as well. The days we think we have it figured out, something's going to work on air, it doesn't. And then you do something else that you think, this is just not going to happen. And then that whole topic takes off. So I think it's very similar to what you do. But we're going to be back with you now. We're just going to go to the news. Hopefully there's no President's Keepers to tell somebody about, seeing that it's an election year. But we'll be back with John Peters. Sy is 'n uitgewer om 'n NBA publishers in die Kaap. En die dame wat so vir ons altyd 'n boekie stuur met 'n paar interessante gaste. Die groot trek saam met Doopie en Nina vandag, 'n dag in die lewe van Jean Peters. Sy is van NBA uitgewers. En ons hoor 'n bietjie hoe lyk haar dag. Ons het nog 'n paar vrae wat ons al moet vra. Gene, so this is going to be a bit of a shorter segment, so if we can condense the answers, that'd be fantastic. But tell me quickly, what does it take to actually put a physical book together, from having it written by a ghostwriter or the person itself to having it spell checked, and what goes into a book?
Okay, we get the manuscript once it's been written completely, and then it goes through an editing process to trim it down, because we've already decided in advance what format it's going to be and how many pages there will be. So the manuscript needs to be trimmed down to that size. And once it's been edited, it gets spell checked. It gets checked for run-ons, orphans and widows. I don't know if you know what all that means, but basically just to make sure that the entire manuscript fits on every single page, and that there aren't sort of like odd words hanging around there's like one word on one page and one sentence on one page. So there's a book layout person that does all of that. And then we commission somebody to do a cover, because the cover is very, very important. So we look at the font of the cover, we look at the colors, we look at the picture that's going to be on. Do we have the author's name larger than the title? What's the subtitle? Does it tell the story about what the book is about? All the kind of things. Does it stand out on the shelf? You know, if somebody walks into a bookshop, what's going to attract them to it? Then we do the blurb on the back to tell people picking up the book what it's about. Exactly. There's a lot that goes into it. Absolutely a lot. And that takes an entire process. I mean, the cover is a whole science, as you say, on its own.
But what
and people that know about design and layout and font size and, you know, all that kind of things. And we also got to keep up to date with what's happening in the world of covers. What covers are interesting? What are the colors of the year? Who's using which fonts? What are the design experts saying?
So let's say I've got a manuscript. Yeah. I'm ready to go to publishing. I'm meeting with a few people. What is it going to cost to get my book from manuscript to, you know, every bookstore around the country?
Cost-wise, I can't tell you because it's all worked out individually. So, I mean, if you think about it, there's an editor, there's a layout artist, there's a there's somebody that checks the spelling. I can't quite remember the names of their jobs now, but they check the spelling, they check for facts, all that kind of stuff. Then it goes to the printer, and the printer obviously charges us to print the book. And then when it comes back from the printer, it's got to be transported. So there's costs involved in transporting the book to our warehouse. Then we've got costs of distribution from the warehouse to all the bookshops. And before that happens, we've got all our sales reps that go visit every single shop from the chains like Exclusive Books and Wordsworth Books to the independent bookstores like Estral Books and Book Lounge in Cape Town. Our reps go and see every single one of those book buyers, and they present the titles coming up for the next couple of months, and the bookshops order books. And then when it gets the books, the finished product gets to our warehouse, those books then get disseminated to all the bookshops. So once it's in the bookshops, then I step in, and that's where we get all the publicity going to get the information, to get the word out there that the book has arrived. And then we hope that people buy them. There's a lot to think about.
How popular are cooking books these days? Cookbooks?
It's interesting. They are quite popular, but you get the big guys like the Jamie Olivers. Those books are huge because he brings out a book every single year. And they're massive. And the local books that we publish, I mean, for instance, Jan Brey, he's incredibly popular. Everybody loves Jan Brey, and everybody wants to buy a Jan Brey cookbook. And he's done about 7 or 8 so far. Mm. So his books always do well. But again, it's that hit and miss thing. You never know what is going to work, what isn't going to work. We did the air fryer cookbook, the first South African air fryer cookbook. One. And that thing sold like hotcakes. We've got number 2 out, and that one's doing pretty well. We've done 2 vegan cookbooks, and those have done very, very well too. So, yeah, again, it's like, what are the trends? You know, is paleo in, or is brine? And brine's always in South Africa because, you know, us South Africans all like to brine. So it just depends. And we never, ever know. You know, you take a chance, and some books do better than others.
So, Jean, what does a day look like in the life of a publisher?
Well, when I get into the office in the morning, I check my emails, I put publicity plans together, and on the odd occasion, I might go up to Joburg because I live in Cape Town, so I might go up to Joburg to attend the launches of one of my authors, or maybe the book is big enough and it warrants a kind of like mini book tour in South Africa. So we go to Durban, we go to Cape Town, we go to Joburg, and then I travel with the author and I make sure that they get to their launches, and I set up the interviews and I bring them to the various different interviews to meet all the media. So it's fun. It's really fun, and it's varied because every single day is different. And you never know what it's going to bring until the day arrives, and there you are.
Well, Jean, you say you never know what the day is going to bring. Me and Nini are thinking of bringing you something of our very own very soon.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
but that's awesome. It's not the children's book that hasn't been returned.
No.
Now you're never going to let me forget that one.
No, I've already taken that up with a primary school teacher as well. So they know of the book, and they are still waiting in the media library for that. But we have something else. We'll chat to you very, very soon about this. But thank you so much for taking time, and we really appreciate you sending us all these cool books.
Yes, we love them. Thank you.
Yeah, the awesome background on the guests and everything.
Yes, and we also love telling stories, so you help us. So thank you.
That's such a pleasure. I'll keep them coming. And I'll keep nagging you for those interviews. So
absolutely.
You'll hear from me again.
Jean Peters, says the uitgever on the NBA Booker. Thank you so much, Jean. Have a lovely evening.
It's a pleasure. You too.
Cheers. Bye. So as jy weer wil luister na die tyd en jy wil dalk in hierdie rigting ingaan, dalk as jy gek oor boeke, soos Nina, so baie dat jy hulle by jou huis hou, forever and ever and ever and ever and ever, dan is dalk wat jy wil wees, jy wil dalk 'n boekuitgewer wees.
Kuier maandag tot vrydag saam, Dobie en Nina, 3 tot 6, net hier op die Groot Trek, op Groot FM 90.5.